Hey, if you love the Rewatchables podcast, you can listen to every episode from the last 3 years only on Spotify. That's where the entire catalog is. If you want to listen to new episodes from the last 60 days, they're available anywhere. But if you want the entire catalog, it is only available on Spotify.
Für alle ein Fest zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Wolwig Naturell, 1,5 Liter für nur 49 Cent, zuzüglich Pfand. Oder Almare Räucherlachs XXL, 220 Gramm für nur 3,49 Euro. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network and theringer.com, where we have been covering all the twists and turns with the election. You can listen to the Bakari Sellers podcast, Higher Learning, and the Press Box. They have been all over this the past week. We're going to talk about the election at the tail end of this podcast. We have new rewatchables coming Monday night. I'm not on it, but it's a great movie. And two podcast promotions for you to think about. One is the Masters is coming. So I really want you to listen to Fairway Rolling this week with Joe House, who's going to be on a second, and Nathan Hubbard, because not only are they going to tell you what's going to happen in the Masters, they're also going to give you some good gambling bets using the old FanDuel ad. So check that out. And then the Book of Basketball podcast is coming back Wednesday night. Yeah. I think I'm going to do a 12 episode season, and it's going to all be players. 12 podcasts about 12 pyramid guys from my Hall of Fame basketball pyramid, which I keep tinkering with. So the first one is on Wednesday night. It is a very, very famous basketball player. I am excited about it. It came out great. I think you're going to enjoy it. So stay tuned. If you're not, stay tuned for Wednesday night. And if you're not subscribed to the Book of Basketball podcast, subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, coming up. Cousin Sal, Joe House, breaking down a bizarre weekend of football. But first, Pearl Jam. All right, Cousin Sal is here. Joe House joining us for the first half of the podcast. The reason is because I drove back from Arizona today and had to patch together the entire football day, which I did. I feel actually much better about it than I thought I would. Red Zone on my iPhone. My daughter had a game. It was like right second half of the first game. So I wasn't watching unless she wasn't playing or it was halftime. Going back on, checking out. And then got to hear everything in the late games, which were fantastic. And then the Sunday night game, which is a disaster. I want to start with Tua versus Kyler Murray, because I listened to this on the radio and it was the Arizona announcer said, "No one guy talks like this. I don't know if you've ever heard him."
Who's that?
But hey, I don't know whoever the color guy was. but it really sounded like Tua looked like the guy. Sal, what'd you think?
It was back and forth. And like you said, those late afternoon games, all three of them were great. Las Vegas Chargers, Cowboys Steelers, unfortunately. I really would have rather not pay attention to that. I wanted to focus on Tua and Kyler Murray, but I had to split my time. But every time I looked up and every time I saw those guys had the ball, either of them, great things happen. It's so much better watching guys who could take off, these young quarterbacks, right? I mean, even in we see Brady. I don't want to jump around too much, but Brady, Breeze to a lesser extent, Roethlisberger, just kind of statues out there when you put pressure on them. It's like the drive is over if you put pressure on them. But a guy like Kyler just was great. And, Tua was what? He ran for 35 yards. He had 248 in the air, two touchdowns, 20 for 28. You couldn't ask for more out of him in a big win on the road.
House, we have Miami at 6-1 to win the AFC East, which took a hit with Buffalo beating Seattle, which we'll talk about later. But the thing we were worried about was, is Tua for real? He did not look good last week. And this week looked like the guy we're talking about. So what'd you think?
Yeah, this is the version of Tua. It's like the best case scenario. And it's the version of Tua that I think we saw like in the very first moments that he walked on the field at Alabama. He has this poise, this instinct, this he's not cowed by the moment. And it was a little bit concerning last week. Now, last week was such a weird game against the Rams that the other phases of what Miami brought to the table really made it so that Tua didn't have to do too much. And they didn't really ask him to do very much. They asked him to do a lot this game. I mean, it really did come down to his decision making, which was outstanding. His accuracy, which was excellent. His legs, which were great. And it was a super exciting matchup. Him and Kyler, I mean, give us 10 more years of that.
Can I just say, you know, he's got all those things. He's got poise. He's got great, you know, he's got insight. He's got good field awareness, all those things. You know what else he has? He has motivation, because there are some people who still think Ryan Fitzpatrick should be the quarterback of that team. Mm. That's one. Number two, his brother is outstanding at Maryland. I know you guys probably haven't seen him play yet. They killed Penn State. They're like a 30-point underdog, and they beat him. So he's got a lot of these factors going for him, and he's rising to the occasion.
Well, and then he had a whole week of Burrow and Herbert. What about Tua? Are they showcasing him?
Right.
All this stuff. Sal, I'm not a huge college football guy, although I have a habit of always stumbling into the most important game. Like last night, Clemson-Notre Dame, I somehow saw the fourth quarter and the overtimes. But Tua, until he got hurt, people thought he was like the all-time sure thing, right? Were you in that camp?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a clear number one over Lawrence. No question before he got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. So this Miami thing, and they're still a game back from Buffalo, but they have, they play them week 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what surprised me about the game today was that their defense didn't actually do that well, because Kyler Murray was kind of carving them up, but they got the big stop when they needed it. To me, Kyler got lost in this game. He's been getting better. I have him in fantasy. Like, he had like over 40 points in both the leagues that I have him. But
I mean, his over rushing yards are like 54. You want to talk about gambling and fantasy? He's like expected to have like 44, 54 yards rushing a game. He had 106. He goes over every week. He was 21 to 26 passing. It's just kind of perfect. He just can't kick is the problem.
The Arizona announcers got real excited in the fourth quarter, because there was this window that was opening where it was like, wow, we could have the best record in the NFC.
Yeah.
And I'm going 109 miles an hour on the 10. I'm like, what? How? And I'm like, should I look at this on my phone and try to figure out if this is true? But, you know, Seattle lost. And right now.
You mean the NFC West, the best record in the NFC West?
No. Well, they could have been tied with Green Bay. They could have been 6-2.
And the Saints?
And the Saints 6-2 and Green Bay 6-2. So they would have been tied in a first place tie for
across the board.
Number one seed tie. So they were getting all excited about that, and then it fall apart. But House, it's not inconceivable, right? That we could have, that could have been a Super Bowl preview.
Which?
I mean, it's Miami, Arizona. It's not the most ridiculous thought ever. No, I'm just saying, it's not ridiculous.
Let's look up the odds and put $5 on it. Just because we said it on the pod, and you know, it's a fun and funny thing.
Let me ask you this. How many more teams in the AFC right now do you like more than Miami? I'll give you Pittsburgh, I'll give you Baltimore, I'll give you Kansas City.
What are we talking about? Are we talking one game where Miami has to go play at all those teams? Like,
I'm just saying, AFC right now, who do you like more? I gave you three teams. Do you like Buffalo more right now than Miami?
Nah, I think that's a toss-up, and depends who shows up that game. These teams are all kind of interchangeable, but I think those three that you mentioned, KC, Pittsburgh,
they're all better.
Baltimore.
Cleveland, I like them more. Do you like them more than Tennessee right now, from what we've seen halfway through the year?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I Tennessee's full of crap.
Yeah, I'm with Cuz. I put Tennessee and Buffalo in the same category, and I think they're both a notch down from the top three. Pittsburgh,
Indianapolis,
Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Indianapolis to hurt your feelings today.
Hey, if Phillip Rivers continues to be the quarterback of Indianapolis, they're going to be lucky to win 9 games. He's awful.
I couldn't believe you liked them today.
He's effing awful.
House had a classic feast or famine. He loved the Saints, but he also loved the Colts. So he split that one.
I didn't even talk to you guys about it, and I had all my bets on the Colts this week. This was one of the things where everybody liked the Ravens, but the line was moving down. Like it couldn't get to 3, and then the Colts ended up being favored. I'm like, there's no way all my idiot friends are going to be right about this, and the Ravens are going to win. I'm taking the Colts, and not only that, I'm taking them plus 11.5 on a teaser. Are you kidding me?
I teased him up to 8.5, and I thought we might get a backdoor touchdown, but
Jesus.
The only backdoor that Philip Rivers falls into is his wife.
Is that Come true? On. That's terrible.
They have a dozen kids.
They do have a lot of children. Kids.
That's what do you want me to do?
Well, we should mention Indianapolis scored on their first drive. They're up 7-0. And it was like 103 on the East Coast. They were up 7-0 and they scored three points.
I feel Jonathan Taylor, as bad as Phil Rivers is, and as much as you can never get him to convert on a 4th-and-5 or a 4th-and-3, Jonathan Taylor's fumble killed him. I mean, the Ravens had no momentum at all. And then he fumbles and they take it back to the house. He's not even playing that well, Taylor. I don't know what that is.
That's the problem with Indianapolis, though. They can't afford any mistakes. If they make one mistake, they lose.
Well, the funny thing with Taylor, everything he's shown as a rookie, and I do not watch college football, but it was as advertised. Incredible athlete, so fast, can be a 3-down back, game breaker, but he puts the ball on the ground.
That doesn't usually fix itself in the pros, where they hit harder and they're faster and they're stronger.
I have one more Miami question. Do you like them more than Las Vegas?
Like as a city? No.
I don't know.
I kind of think they're as bad. You know, I know Arizona scored 31, but I count on Dolphins defense, and we saw it early against. I think overall I like them better than Las Vegas.
House?
I do too. I like Miami better than Las Vegas.
So we all believe right now Miami is the 4th best team in the AFC.
They're in that category. I think we're doing tiers. I think they belong in the same conversation as Tennessee and Buffalo. And honestly, Las Vegas does belong in that same tier. Those are the 7 playoff teams in the AFC.
But if you lost to Buffalo again, which they could, then they'd be 2 back of them. And then you'd be like, no, Buffalo's better, right? I mean, it goes week to week with these things.
Right now, they're a game and a half behind Buffalo. I screwed that up. All right, NFC. Who do you like more than Arizona, other than the Saints, who we'll talk about?
Oh, I see how you did this.
In a second, do you like anybody in the NFC East more than Arizona? I do not.
No.
Come on.
Do you like the Packers?
Yeah.
More than Arizona?
I do. I think I'm one of the few that love the Packers every week, even though they lose every other game that so far. I got to be honest.
From an upside standpoint, I think I like Arizona more.
Okay.
Because I really do feel like he's getting better each week, and there's a ceiling with him that I think Green Bay, we kind of know what they are. I don't really know. You know, they're kind of they're the good bad team that can occasionally hang with the good team. What do you think, House?
The answer to that question depends on who Arizona has in their backfield, because the single biggest vulnerability of Green Bay is their rush defense. And if Drake isn't playing, then I like Green Bay better. If Drake's playing, then I think it's more of an even kind of
and also status. We've seen very few games where Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Adams have played together. Very few. Maybe one.
All right,
one
so
or
we'll
two.
We'll say that's a toss-up. And then NFC West, from what I've seen, especially after whatever the hell happened to Seattle today, and you feel like Seattle's 6-2 and they pulled 2 games out of the deep recesses of their rectum and they have real defensive problems. I think Arizona's the best team in that division right now. If we're going to say who looks the best going forward, which roster would you want? You'd be like, I don't want to go against Russell Wilson, all that stuff. But Seattle's defense, I don't know what's going on with that. I think Arizona's got a slightly higher upside. House, they have one factor, though, that you've pointed out on text. Cliff Kingsbury, you're not sure that he's playing with a full deck.
I've used some unkind language as it relates to Coach Cliff. But I will say this. We already had a referendum on this. Arizona and Seattle played, and Arizona beat Seattle. And I also want to just make a quick observation. It's a data point. You know, you had Russell on this podcast.
Yeah.
And his record since the time that he appeared on here is not great.
It's 1-2.
It is 1-2. It's the true fact. I hope it's not the negative bump, the BS podcast negative bump.
Uh-oh.
You're the new well, I'll give you four turnovers today, 3 turnovers against Arizona. That's 7 turnovers since he came on your podcast, Bill.
Pete Carroll said that he couldn't recognize this defense and the postgame press. I was like, really? What? No, it's the same one from 2 weeks ago. You played tough against Arizona or San Francisco last week. But no. It's the same kind of defense. But I do want to talk, like, Dunlop is back. Dunlop's on the team now. Adams is back. Those guys played well, and they played well in the last couple weeks. You know, if they played, you look at their numbers, not that bad. I think they had 7 sacks. and they still gave up a million points. I can't put my finger on it. And like no rushing yards. The total rushing yards in Buffalo-Seattle was 91. There are incredible stats we never saw growing up where teams are rushing for 30 yards and winning games. It's unbelievable. Everyone's
that was
back
the
fast.
Game plan. Buffalo completely rewrote their I think they threw on 22 of the first 24 offensive plays they had or something like that. It was an insane number of pass to run ratio.
805 passing yards between the two teams. It's really
well,
the
podcast
different.
House did a podcast with Warren Sharp on Friday, and Sharp laid out this whole case for don't give up on Buffalo yet, basically saying there's signs that their offense might be better than we think it is because they had that weird Tennessee game. They had two bad weather games. And he was just like, I'm not ready to think that this offense isn't good. And then they were awesome in this game. And Sal has $1 Josh Allen in our fantasy league. But I don't know what to make of Buffalo anymore. I think I've been wrong on them probably 80% of the time so far this year. I'm going to stay away from them from gambling.
You, for some reason, don't want them to be the team that usurps the Patriots.
I want
right?
it to be Miami.
You want it to be Miami.
We could say Brian Flores, you know, took over from Belichick. He's carrying the legacy in the division.
Right.
Wait, I have one more either or question. Would you rather be Tampa going forward right now or Arizona?
Man, again, I don't know what kind of defense we're getting with Tampa. I thought they righted the ship there. I thought they righted it with penalties, but tonight what we saw, I don't even know what the hell we saw. Everyone was bad on that team. But, you know, you I know you want to point it this way and like who's better and if we want to rank them, that's one thing. But with that NFC West, I could see any of them winning the Super Bowl. I could see any of them getting knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. That's just how it is. I don't think I'm going to change that. I want to propose to you top five favorite offenses to watch right now.
Well, I know you love the Chargers.
I think I put the Chargers in my three.
Wow. Casey's in there, right?
Chiefs are one.
Yeah.
I think Cardinals two. I put Chargers three. I know everyone's like, oh, you're crazy. The Seahawks. I like the Chargers. I'm kind of bored with the Seahawks. I know that's stupid to say. And then you got the Bengals and Bucks when the Bucks are rolling. But those are my three there. What do you say?
I like the Bengals call.
Mm-hmm.
And I Pittsburgh will be fun at some point, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Don't you think? It doesn't feel like they've figured out the run pass balance correctly yet, but I do feel like that offense is going to have a moment. I got to say, I can't wait to watch Tua now, the way he played. I'm in on all the rookie quarterbacks. I love those guys.
What a House, class. What a
class. Do you think, House?
I just know who I have 32nd on that list, and it's the mother effing Baltimore Ravens. I just can't.
Offense.
Oh my God. Obviously, I'm the dummy that paid $50 for Lamar Jackson this season. and you know, I think they had 60 yards on offense in the first half against the Colts today.
They had 266 total. Like, teams are winning games with incredible stats you wouldn't believe. 266 offensive yards.
We're at the point of the season now where you have to be alarmed if you're a Ravens fan. That they, by November, you would have thought there would be signs of whatever. We're going to take a break, and then I want to talk about Tampa, New Orleans. So I had the drive time perfectly. Could get to hear the whole Sunday Night Football. I thought it was going to be the first half of Sunday Night Football. Watch the second half, do the podcast. For a variety of reasons, I barely got here in time. We'll talk about that later. This is the most shocking result of the year to me. Not only because I had the Tampa money line and a couple of bets and had them in $1 million picks, but I really thought they were better than New Orleans. And I thought this was going to be the game when they grabbed the division by the balls. I was actually, if you told me the score was going to be 38-3 and you said which side, well, I would have been 100% sure it was the Tampa side.
You would have bet 22 of your 25 houses on Tampa if you heard the final
score. Easily. Right? And maybe a guest house.
Yeah. Right.
So what was Collins? I didn't get to watch the telecast. What was Collinsworth doing during this game? What kind of frame of mind was he in?
They went back and forth between, they listed all of Brady's comebacks and everything. And Al was like, don't touch that dial. It's like, all right, it's 28-3. He has two first downs and it looks more like they're going to take him out to like two drives later, Collinsworth's like, I don't know why they're playing these guys still. It's like 8 minutes left in the fourth. But this was another one where the line went for everybody loved Tampa. It was a foregone conclusion that they were going to beat the Giants. Last time we talked on Sunday, they were going to beat the Giants and then they were going to get their revenge on New Orleans. And this was another one where everybody loved Tampa. And yet the line went from 4.5, I think, when we did the pod last Sunday night, to like 3.5. It's like, why is this line going down? It's like, oh yeah, the Saints want this more, or just as much at least. It was another strange one. The Bucs had 5 carries total, broken NFL record with 5 carries.
Not, I don't know. I didn't understand game. That at all. I actually thought, although I guess the Saints have a good run defense and they're trying to zag right away, but this is bad for Brady. This is now 2 stink bombs against the Saints, right? And then on top of it, you bring Antonio Brown in his house. Is Antonio Brown the mole? What happened here?
I have no idea. This Buccaneers team is entirely confounding to me.
Because they sucked last week too.
Well, you beat me to it. This is the thing. What they showed against the Giants apparently was not just a flat spot, an aberration where they were looking forward to the Saints. They were game planning for the Saints. They were holding a little something back. They didn't give, you know, unfurl the full dong against the Giants. That's not what happened. No. Instead, the identity of the Buccaneers that we saw against the Giants was indeed the same identity we saw tonight against the Saints, and the Saints are a little bit better than the Giants.
And the Giants could have won. Like you said, Danny Dimes missed terribly on 3 throws that any one of those would have put them ahead for good.
You look at the Saints, like, they lose to the Raiders and Packers. They haven't lost since. And from what we've seen of the Raiders now, that's not as bad of a loss as it seemed like in week 2, right?
The Raiders beat the Chiefs and the Saints, right? I mean, those are as good a wins as you can get.
They're 3-1 on the road.
And then they're Packers, good. No shame in that one. But you look at Tampa, that Chargers game, which we all watched, they easily could have blown that game.
Giants.
They lose to the Bears, and we're like, oh, it was a Thursday night. Then they kill the Packers, they kill the Raiders. And we're like, here we go. And I thought, I mean, their Super Bowl odds went to what, 6-1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was about 6-50.
And then I remember Haralba bet on Biden at +290. Oh, no, wait, I'm screwing up the election.
What?
but yeah, this is the Bucks have at Panthers next week, who look pretty frisky in that Chiefs game. Home for the Rams, home for the Chiefs, home for the rejuvenated Vikings. I think they're officially rejuvenated. So their next 4 are not easy. And I don't know. They were talking on the radio about Mike Evans was throwing a tantrum on the sidelines at one point. And you got Antonio Brown there. He's a lunatic. Possibilities here.
I can't blame Antonio Brown fully, but his presence is what killed them today. Because like I said, every facet of that team was bad today. But he did a great thing when they're down 28-3. He catches a ball for a first down and does it. They like just does a thing where he drops it in front of them. And it's like, it's funny. I had Michael Irvin on my podcast, Extra Points, this week. And he claims he made that up. He invented the celebration after the first down at Miami. He made a great catch at the 7-yard line. In college, and he's like, I'm not waiting to score. I'm celebrating here. And I was like, you son of a bitch. You're the reason Zeke Elliott stirs the soup after a 3-yard game. This is what happens. And Antonio Brown did it tonight. It's so good. So good.
I got to say, I think I might agree with him on that.
What about what? That he's
about
the first?
Creating the, yeah. I think that might have actually been true.
I tried to think back. I couldn't remember seeing it before.
Who would have done it before? I mean, he invented 9 different things we'd never seen when he played football. Right. Wide receivers were pretty nondescript up to that point. We had the Billy White Shoes Johnson, and that was about it. It's not like they were demonstrative in the 80s, right, House?
No, I mean, I had Art Monk here, the quietest guy in the NFL.
Yeah, right.
Right. I had Stanley the Steamer Morgan. I don't want to overreact, but I'm going to overreact. It's hard for me to believe the Bucs win the Super Bowl. And remember when they hit rock bottom at 38-3? I don't remember a champ getting their asses kicked like that. Certainly in the 6 Patriots Super Bowls, they lost. I remember in the 2003 Super Bowl, they lost to Buffalo 31-0. But it was like the first or second game of the year. This late in the year when you're healthy, that's not a good sign. I guess
probably not. Probably not. But it's a weird season. It really is. And I do think we're at the point of the year where teams are looking past other teams, or teams are mailing in. You know, you and I, we, the three of us, we always talk about how teams just don't show up for two games a year unexplained. That's it. So maybe this is drop the lowest quiz grade and go forward. Or maybe it's not. I do want to defend my NFC a little. You know, the Chiefs could have three losses too. They could have lost today to Carolina. If that 65-yarder goes a little straighter or whatever, we know the Chiefs could have lost to the Chargers. There's another one in there. Well, they have a loss. So, you know, I think we know who the top five-ish, six teams. We'd be surprised, although you're putting Arizona in the Super Bowl. But other than that,
I believe anyone from the NFC. You could give me seven teams right now, and I would just be like, sure.
Right. If they lost in the first round, you'd be like, oh, that sucks, but that makes sense too, right?
Yeah, but isn't that what the great thing about the NFC this year is? Any team you could say, I see them in the Super Bowl, I see them losing in round one by 20.
Especially with only one bye, yeah.
House, longtime NFC guy. Do you remember a year when the NFC heading into week 10 did not have a team that we all thought was the established favorite? Because this is pretty weird.
Let's think about this.
Before you answer, we have the Packers at 6-2. We have the Saints at 6-2. The Bucks at 6-3. The Seahawks at 6-2. Cardinals, Rams at 5-3.
So nobody has 7 wins. So nobody, are you saying this could be the first time? You're right. There's no 7-win team going into week 10.
Like 12-4 could take the one seed.
Sure.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I think that's a good number for the one seed, honestly. If you gave me that right now, I'd say, sure, I'd grab it.
4-12 could take the one seed in the NFC East.
The Washingtons are still alive.
House, who would you take in the NFC right now? No odds. I'm just saying, like, if gun to your head.
The Saints.
See, I wouldn't take the Saints.
The Saints. That's who I would take.
Wouldn't do it. I guess they would have to get the one seed and play inside, right? All the way to the Super Bowl. That would be the recipe for them.
I'd take the Packers. You would take Arizona?
I mean, I wouldn't. Fuck.
We don't have to do this is the other thing.
I think I can't believe it, but is it the Saints? I think they're the safest bet. If was depending on it.
If everybody's healthy and that defense can remain healthy, they have the most. They on both sides of the ball, and you know that relationship with Peyton and Breeze, you know that they've been through some stuff together. That's all. We're only in the middle of the season.
And but we could like the Saints and the Steelers, but there's a decent chance neither of those quarterbacks make it to the finish line.
Well,
totally agree.
If you just that's why I want to take the Saints.
Yeah, if you just watch how they play and everything.
I would take Arizona if the guy who House called all kinds of terrible names today wasn't the head coach. Because I think their destiny this year is every year there's a team that is super fun and actually seems like they could make the Super Bowl, and then they lose a terrible game in the playoffs. Like 30-28, 35-34, 27-25, one of those. And you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe... That feels like their destiny to me. I can't believe they blew it. Which, by the way, the Chargers are the AFC version of that, but they're not going to make the playoffs because they're an 8-0 team that is somehow 2-6. They did it again. This was especially cruel because I was listening on the radio. Our friend Matt Money Smith was announcing. Yeah. And what was his name? Barham caught the touchdown?
Yeah.
The tight end?
Parham. The pit. Yeah.
And he's like, Parham! All he does... It's catch touchdowns.
Oh,
three grabs, three touchdowns. The Chargers win. And the other guy's like, hold on. They're going to review it. And they thought they were reviewing the inbounds. And then 2 minutes later, they realized the ball was kind of moving. And it sounded like he was just going to go walk into traffic. They're so bummed out. They just gone this whole thing about finally they're off the schneid. Finally they get through a fourth quarter. So yet another. House, it's like an hour-long YouTube video at this point of terrible collapses.
I will say this, though. I love watching Herbert. I just love it. I think he's great. I mean, he's a big boy. The one thing I'd like to see a tiny bit more is him run. It doesn't feel like he has a big run instinct, but he's so young and he moves fine.
Oh, he can run. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like he needs to be a little more assertive that way. Maybe it's because we're watching at the same time as Kyler.
That's true. You know what I love about him, Hal? See, hang with me with this comparison. He's Bryson DeChambeau. First of all, he throws downfield with such great touch. His long ball is terrific. It's his short pass. It's his third and seven.
It's the red zone stuff.
Yeah,
the wedges.
The needle, and he can't get it. Yeah, the wedges, right? The short stuff he can't do. But I love as a rookie to throw downfield that much. How many times did you have to deal with your first year quarterback to just do outlet passes to the fullback like the whole first season? It's like, you're not getting that out of the Chargers. You're also not getting wins, which I think Anthony Lynn is going to be. He's going to have to speak up for. And they're not blowing 16-point leads anymore. They're just not catching the ball. The ball's barely hitting the ground, and it's bad. It's why are we not betting against them in the fourth quarter in the live line? What are we doing?
Well, they didn't have Joey Bosa, which the announcers were talking about when I was listening about. They don't have like that. Their defense was always dying in the fourth quarter everyway, and then on top of it, you know, they don't have him. There's still a path for them to be a playoff team.
Oh, no.
I can't cross them off yet. 2-6. They just need to get to 9-7. They're in every game. And Herbert's super fun. House, do you think we sold Sal's Bryson DeChambeau Herbert analogy better than Clay Travis will tomorrow? I think we did. That was a good one. You're gonna be using that on Fox. No, you'll be using that one again on Fox Bet Live tomorrow. I can feel it.
Oh, I think
it's a good one. Yeah, run that run back.
It's Masters Week. You got to get it going.
Yeah.
I have a Jean green jacket on as we speak.
I love it. I love it. No, I know. I love all these rookies. And that's why I was excited when Tua was in. And let's see them all. I'm excited about the crop next year, too. I don't know. I don't know what to think about what it means for a Dak Prescott and my team, which I'm glad we haven't talked about.
It's going to single-handedly reignite the football card industry.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the Panini. Ben and I have bought like 3 boxes already, trying to get Tua and Burrow and all these dudes. But there's more fun rookies. It's one of those rare classes where all the good players are actual dudes. Like even Chase Young, like the best defensive guy, is actually like this fucking badass.
I wish the running backs were better. They haven't really. Edwards-Helaire was supposed to be great. It looked like it was going to be that way. And, you know, just Swift on Detroit.
Zach Moss might end up being the best running back.
Yeah, he's okay. They take a couple weeks off, all these guys.
I know.
Sal, I have a special segment for you.
What is it?
It's the State Farm Surprisingly Great Segment of the Week. Because getting great car and home insurance from State Farm at a surprisingly great rate, that's kind of like Joe House loving the Saints at +4. And then what did the line end up at?
It went down to 3, didn't it?
No, it was down.
It's 3. Like how House hit with the Saints. State Farm agents provide personal service. You can customize your insurance to fit your needs. Like a GM putting together their very own roster, you need a team that supports you. And State Farm's got a great one. House, sing this song for us.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In addition to a great song and great agents, the award-winning mobile app helps manage coverage, pay bills, file claims, and more with a great price, even greater service. State Farm goes from strength to strength. Choose insurance that always brings its A game. When you want the real deal like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, which brings us to our surprisingly great player from this week. Sal, take the floor. This random Dallas quarterback. Let's hear it. Let's hear the scouting report. Go do your thing. This is actually exciting.
I joked that Garrett Gilbert, finally, we have a Garrett we could trust in Dallas. He showed up. He was gutty. He didn't turn the ball over. I knew he had one bad one in him. I knew he was going to turn the ball over at some point. And the one he did, Amari Cooper was held in the end zone. But whatever, they didn't call it. And it was picked off. And then the Steelers come down and seal their fate. But I felt good. I felt good that they brought me back in. I was mad. I was like, let me just be done with this season. Let this quarterback suck. I know usually the fourth quarterback is the one that turns the team around. But
yeah,
in this instant, I was like, just let him suck so I don't have to watch the whole game. I could concentrate on Kyler. But no.
Instead, you're thinking Romo.
He was good.
Is this Romo 2.0? What's going on here?
For Sal's sake, I hope so. I need some help with who's going to be quarterback in Washington, though. I mean, we might have to bring back Haskins. We're like, you can't start Alex Smith. It's a bad karma move. But he's right now the starter.
Alex Smith did not make the cut for surprisingly great this week.
He had 325 yards and almost led them to a comeback in the fourth quarter. Well, because he threw two interceptions.
Every time he goes back to pass, you're terrified.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's what sucks. Like, the documentary made people, I don't want to say not root for him, but they made him turn away. They can't watch that game. Not that the Washington is and Giants is watchable anyway. But Garrett Gilbert, we're set. We're winning this division.
Garrett Gilbert does not sound like a quarterback name.
No.
I don't know what it sounds like, but like the representative in Georgia who's in the runoff right now, it's Garrett Gilbert against somebody else. Doesn't sound like the guy who's saving your team.
Might be a State Farm insurance agent. I don't know.
Or a great fried chicken chef. If Garrett Gilbert cooked me a giant batch of fried chicken, I'm in.
Sal, how much did you know about Garrett Gilbert before 48 hours ago?
A little bit. Not too much. I don't want to get close to these people because they end up disappointing me. So I was pleasantly surprised, and then the refs took it away from us.
I have one more Cowboys question. Mm-hmm. At what point did you look at the standings and realize that you would be like a game out in first place? You did, didn't you? Like third quarter? I did. Dalton coming back next week. You're starting to get ideas.
No, Dalton, Garrett Gilbert. Let Dalton sit.
Garrett Gilbert.
I really like that. I just, and then, you know, and when Ben went off, I thought we were going to see Mason Rudolph. I was like, all right, this is a fair fight now. Everybody put their guns away. Steelers, another team. 46 yards rushing. When we grew up, nobody won a game with 46 yards rushing. The Steelers did today. Pollard is better than Elliott. He gets just as many yards on half the carries. I don't know what this team's identity is, but I know Jalen Smith is really, really bad defensively, and I'll be happy to be done with this season when they're done with us.
Yeah, the announcers on Sirius got upset when he had another dumb penalty.
Yeah.
Smith. I mean, they're like, Jalen Smith again.
Well, we got it's the like one where they grazed. They're falling back and they graze the quarterback's face mask, which I think the face mask is there to protect the quarterback, right? But they graze the face mask, and that's a 15-yard penalty. That killed the Cowboys. There are a couple plays in there, but
all right, that was our surprisingly great player of the week. House, the Pittsburgh, they're halfway through tying the 2007 Pats, going 16-0. They're 8 games away. They're 8-0 right now. Any chance they go 16-0? Sal, what would you give? Make a bet right now. Can you guys make a bet? What would you give House right now that the Steelers go 16-0?
Three. I'll give you the same odds I gave David Chang that he gets to the playoffs in our fantasy league. I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Those are terrible odds.
Well, you look at the schedule. They have a couple guys. They are bad. Actually, I should give you like 4.5 because the Thanksgiving game against the Ravens,
right,
which they'll be favored.
Comes down to that game.
But they'll be favored in that game, right, by 4 points, I think, at least they're home. Not too much more.
Well, it's like what you said about the 46 yards running.
Yeah.
James Conner's like, he's like a C-. I don't know. I do feel like that's going to come back to haunt them in January, but it might not haunt them the rest of the season. What do you think, House?
I think that they're so diverse on offense. And we're still, I think, waiting for that one Big Ben game where he goes out and throws for 520 yards, like spreads it around to all three receivers. And Benny Snell, as a poor man's Connor, is he's not horrendous. I mean, I just think they can score so many different ways and score quickly that I'm not concerned about them on offense. The thing that they're still sorting through is Devin Bush. You know, they're still getting that sort of worked out, but they're so good. They're loaded. There's just no chance they're going 8-0 through the rest of the season.
Real quick, we'll go over the lines, but Steelers, Bengals, you know that's going to be a hefty number. At Jaguars, that could be close to double digits. Home for the Ravens, that's a tough one. Home for your Washington team, that's a double-digit game. At the Bills, that's tough. Slight favorite. At the Bengals, slight favorite. Yeah, I guess they're right. They're at their home for the Colts and then at the Browns. Yeah, there's losable games in there for sure.
Mm.
I was wrong. 5-1.
Well, man, five to one now?
Yeah, I'll give you 5-1.
It's no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Wow. Well, they're 2 games up on the Ravens. They are 2 games up on Titans and Bills and only 1 game up on the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, how much did you see of that Chiefs game today? When they don't have Chris Jones, I feel like anybody can beat them.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I just think that was the one where Mahomes just put him on his back. He's like, again, like they had 30 yards rushing. He's like, however many points it takes for me to win, I'm going to do this. And you know who took a beating today? Dan Marino. Mahomes was the fastest to 100 touchdowns, beat Marino. And Lamar, 25-5, had the best record in the first 30 games, which was previously Marino. So rest in peace, Dan Marino. Sorry about that.
Poor Danny Marino.
I would have known.
All right, House, we're bringing you back at the end of this podcast for Parent Corner and a little election talk.
Oh, okay. Right. I didn't know that. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Great.
Wait a minute. It's 12:30. No,
hold on.
Right?
We're taking a break. Come back and guess the lines. All right, Sal, you beat me last week. Much like the Bucks, I didn't really show up. You kicked my ass. It was one of those days. I had a couple picks. You ran the ball down my throat. You got a win on the board. I'm going to rally back this week. Our Thursday night game.
I didn't do great this week. I was, maybe you won't do great either, but let's see.
I think I did all right.
Prime for the beating here. Go ahead.
First game is at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Phil Rivers and the Colts coming to town. And I have Tennessee favored by 3.5 points.
Yeah, you're going to get that. I went high. I was so mad at Indianapolis and what they did to me, not covering on a teaser. I said Tennessee by 5, and it's 2.5. So you're closer.
Oh.
But that team is, you know, it's funny. Tennessee played the Bears, and I was like, all right, the loser of this is the biggest fraud in the league, right? Because they're both had good records. Well, ironically, now I think Tennessee's the biggest fraud in the league, and Chicago's just bad. Right? Because
Chicago, you can't even call a fraud anymore because nobody believes what they're selling.
Can we cross them off, Chicago? Is it too late? I want to cross them off.
Oh,
so
shit.
Bad.
We didn't do cross off teams yet.
Well, we wait. Oh, all right. I don't know.
I think we had, honestly, it's probably the Chargers.
Yeah.
They're 2-6. There's not really a roadmap for them.
Let's go through. Who do we have? We have Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Jets, Giants.
We have Giants, Jets, Jaguars, Bengals, Texans, and Patriots.
And Patriots.
Which might have been a mistake, but...
Yeah. All right, so what are our choices here?
Chargers.
Oh, you don't want to cross off Broncos? Dallas? I mean, I'm begging you to cross off Dallas.
I'm not crossing off Dallas. Did we cross off the Lions?
I don't think we did, but they're 3-5, right? They're not 3-6. 3-5.
Yeah, so it's basically the Chargers, the Lions, or... Yeah, those are our candidates.
I'm not going by talent here, but I've seen enough to know that the Chargers aren't going to win 7-8 in a row, right?
Yeah, they blew it.
Okay.
I agree. Chargers are the team. So we have Tennessee by 2.5 over the Colts. I had a Colts point for you really quick.
Yeah.
The Andrew Luck retirement
was
kind of a secretly important NFL moment of the last 5 years, because what we've seen in the Colts last year and this year, if they had an above average QB, you could make a case they would have been in the mix.
I forgot about
the QB
about
position.
Him.
Brissett gets hurt second half of last year. They fall apart. This year, Rivers has they just have no ceiling with him. And they paid him $25 million a year on top of it, not to mention the Luck salary cap stuff. If they just had Luck, the guy that, you know, was a really good young quarterback and not quite an MVP candidate, but definitely was second tier.
Yeah.
And then you think about how many good, reliable quarterbacks there are right now. The list is less than 8. Like, that would be a huge what if for me as a Colts fan.
Well, and also they didn't go 4-12 last year, right? They didn't go 3-13. They couldn't draft some of these studs that we're in love with, these rookies. So that hurt them even more, right? You had to go out of your way to sign Phil Rivers, who doesn't really have it, and Jacoby Brissett. Like, Rivers can't even, I don't know if you saw that, but they had the ball at midfield right before the half with 3 seconds left. Rivers came out. Brissett came in to throw the.
I heard it on the radio. I was laughing.
And he got sacked.
Like, here's Jacoby. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Phil Rivers can't throw 40 yards.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Tennessee's not that good either. I think they had 228 total yards today. I don't know what to make out of this. I mean, Foles is so, so bad. I know, like, Trubisky was contemplating shoulder surgery, but I still think he would have been better this week.
What do you think happened to Foles?
I don't know. It's just one of these guys.
It's not like he's 40 years old.
No, but all these guys that can't move, it's the same thing, right? Like, you know what you're getting with them. And if they hit, like, you know, that's three drives that are just going to get killed instantly because he has no mobility and he's not throwing downfield. He threw downfield like twice the whole game. I know he ended up with decent numbers, but I think he had like 6 yards per pass or something. And, yeah, not good against the 27th ranked defense.
I remember Drew Bledsoe, his last two Patriots years before Brady took his job. Basically, his last year, it started to feel like that. Like, he was just, he couldn't create enough space for himself. Mm-hmm. And even Brady, the last couple of years, I think, has faced that problem, but not to the degree with Drew, where something changed. The best example ever was Bernie Kosar on the Browns that time, 30 years ago, when all of a sudden he just seemed like a cigar store Indian.
Right.
Just sitting there waiting to get annihilated.
Foles he had a 3rd-and-14 pass that was behind the line of scrimmage. And like the Titans at that point, like, all right, we've seen 3.5 quarters of this. We're going to pick this. Or we're going to rip it from the running back and run it back. And that's exactly what happened. Like, they become too predictable, some of these QBs.
Our Sunday marquee game. Cardinals Bills. That's right. I did it.
Oh, you love it.
Oh, yeah. This is another possible Super Bowl preview. The game is in Arizona. I have the Cardinals favored by 3 over the Bills.
I said 3. You sure you don't want to say 3.5? It sounded like you were going to say 3.5.
No, 3.
I said 3 also. It's only 1.5. 1.5.
Interesting.
I guess there's a 7 win Arizona. Team against a 5 win team, but. Big East-West thing coming. Buffalo travel. Letdown, maybe. I don't know.
Well, Buffalo's offense, if the elements have to be there weather-wise for them to do well, if that's a theory. But this could be a very exciting game.
Yeah. Fun.
This could be a 37-34. I think the Bills will have trouble against Murray, but I think the Cardinals, if Buffalo looks like they did today. All right, 4 watchables. Panthers are home for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, if you had had me guess this 6 hours ago, I probably would have said like Bucks 4, Bucks 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is now a Bucks by 2.5 over the Panthers in Carolina.
All right, let me check this because this is not fair if I don't do this right. Because I said 4, but and it is 4.5, but it might have changed after the beating. Just hold on 1 second.
Oh.
I want to make it fair to you. Otherwise, this is a win.
That's fair.
Yeah, 4.5. Yeah, it's still 4.5.
Jesus. I don't agree with that line. The Panthers are weird in this respect. I like them as underdogs. I like them when they're 10-point underdogs to KC or getting 4.5 against Tampa, where you don't want them as like laying 6 against the Bengals.
Yeah, right.
You want them like trying to get cheap TDs or being a surprise or because they are pretty frisky.
But how about this? I don't think it matters. Teddy Two Gloves, 44 games played or started. How many did he cover?
How many?
33. 33-11. He covers 75% of his starts. He's 33-11.
So we should call him Teddy Two Covers.
Yeah, Teddy Two Covers, I guess. The only thing that worries me, they had McCaffrey on the sideline just going like that. It really looked like a weird collarbone kind of thing. He does. He makes such a difference there. I mean, obviously, 150 total yards.
Next one for the watchables. This is another great one. Football's really fun this year because we added these three fun quarterbacks right when we needed them, these rookies. Mm-hmm. Dolphins, Chargers. I can't wait for this.
Great one.
I have the Dolphins favored by 3.5 at home against the Chargers.
You're going to get it. I went heavier on this. I said 5. It's 2.5.
Oh, man.
Well,
I might bet that tonight.
On the other hand, Miami 5-3, Chargers 2-6. Just make it 5. Make that spread should be at least 3.
Yeah. I'm betting that after we finish the pod.
All right.
That'll be a nice one. I have a couple Dolphins fans in my life. They're out of their minds. Like, if you're just talking about what fan bases are at completely out of their minds right now at their football team, they have to be number one.
Yeah. Why not? Because playing good defense, a winnable division, great quarterback to look forward to for the next 10 years.
They haven't really had a good quarterback since Marino in the mid-90s when he started to talk about when quarterbacks got a mobile. Marino is a great example of that, right? He couldn't move at all. He was just getting guys were teeing off on him. But yeah, they haven't. In the 21st century, there hasn't like really been a really good Dolphins team. They've had a couple moments. They had like the Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams Wildcat moment. Mm-hmm. They had, what was it, early 2000s? They playoffs, there was one run. I can't even remember.
Their biggest claim to fame is knocking us out of that three-team teaser thing, which we bring up every week, but 10 years ago. But whatever.
Yeah, I follow football and cover sports for a living and can't remember 5 fun Dolphins moments in this century. So needless to say, their fans are fired up. And then the Chargers, who have no fans anymore, but if they did, they would be so fired up for Herbert.
Sure.
It almost feels like they should have to give Herbert to a franchise that would actually really appreciate and take care of him, right? Like if he was on the Broncos, think how many Broncos fans would just be out of their minds that they had Herbert.
Child Protective Services should get involved here, you're saying?
Yeah. Give them to the Browns. They should have to trade him for Baker Mayfield and like 2 first-round picks.
Is there a scenario where Anthony Lynn gets fired this year? Or is everyone survived? Everyone who was like kind of in trouble? I mean, 2-7 with this team would not be ideal if they lost.
It's funny. They show up for all these games, though. Like I do feel like that's part of being a good head coach.
Yeah.
And I love them in Hard Knocks. I don't want them to fire.
I know. They haven't quit on him. It's true. They haven't quit on him. But these losses are embarrassing.
Well, you know how like Arthur Blank comes down for the last 4 minutes of Falcons games? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody that could just come down and stand next to Anthony for like the last 6 minutes of the game? Like some mentor that he has or something? Or
that's
somebody
good.
He trusts?
Yeah.
Could be a conciliary just for the last 6 minutes? Could the GM come down and stand next to him? How about Tyrod Taylor? He's not playing.
He played for a second. He got in that 2-point conversion, missed, but that was it.
Tyrod just one day is going to be like, I've decided not to play the rest of the season and concentrate on my $200 million lawsuit against our team doctor.
Right. Yeah, why is he still playing? This is like when Rick Rosner wrote for Jimmy Kimmel Live, but was still suing ABC for...
oh, my God. Remember that?
His time on Millionaire.
And we were all worried that we're going to have layoffs and cut the writing staff. And we said, Rick, you'd be like the first guy they'd laid off because you're suing them right now. They're like, oh, that's a good point. You're right. That wouldn't be great for
lunatic.
Me. Well, we have 2 more watchables. Yeah. Rams Seahawks is a really good one. I like when these two teams play.
It's a good one. Yep.
It's in LA. Not that that matters. Mm-hmm. I have the Rams favored by 2.5 over the Seahawks.
Damn it. Why isn't it 3? Why is it 1?
Oh, why is it 1? So is home field just out now? Like we shouldn't even be thinking about it anymore. Unless there's like 4 teams. Like I guess with the Saints, maybe it matters a little bit. And
it
KC
matters probably
a tiny
for
bit.
Travel, right? It mattered that Seattle flew all the way to Buffalo. That seemed to matter a little bit, right? But I don't know, fans wise, and once they get there, and if they're energized, I don't think it matters. But the Rams in Seattle, that they should be the 2 best or 2 of the best in the division. Give the home team, I guess you're right. They're just not getting the obligatory 3 at home.
Well, it seemed like Buffalo was putting real pressure on Wilson in that game.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly a
5-6,
raucous
right?
front 7. So you think like the Rams,
yeah, that's
who
true.
I think have a really good front 7. The Seahawks don't fix that. Part of the problem is they're, you know, when you're down to, I think running backs are overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start going toward that DJ Dallas level of running back, that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, although I read you a bunch of stats of teams who had 30 rushing yards and won this week. So I don't, it really does come down to which quarterback throws fewer interceptions or coughs the ball up less, I think, for the most part.
I picked up I had like everybody on a bye week this week for running backs. I picked up DJ Dallas for our keeper league today. And he somehow got 10 points out of him. He'll be, DJ, thanks for the members. You'll be getting waived on Wednesday. Last watchables game. By the way, Rams Seahawks. I'm guilty of recency bias with the NFC West over and over again, but I do like this spot for the Rams.
You do.
It's a little bit of a kitchen sink game for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, Seattle 6-2, Zona's 5-3, Rams are 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rams rest of the way. So they have Seahawks at Tampa, home for the 49ers, at Arizona, home Pats, home Jets, at Seattle, at Cardinals. So they have to play Rams Cardinals four times.
Yeah, I don't know how you view this. If you're a coach in that division, you're like, we just got to take care of our division games, right? Like,
you at least have to win the home games, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know, McVay off a bye here. How do you prepare? I mean, it's probably going to come down to Russ in the last drive, right? Just try to knock him out.
And if you're the Seahawks, if Goff has time, the Rams are going to beat you. You have to figure out how to get to them because that's how you beat the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers, Bengals. It's in Pittsburgh. It's another classic. Joe Burrow is definitely covering this no matter what you think the line is. I have the Steelers by 8.5, and I think Joe Burrow covers it.
I don't even get this one. I said 10.5 and it's 9.5. So we split it. You think Joe Burrow covers this? Burrow off a bye, Pittsburgh.
Their offensive line's looking good.
Yeah, I just don't know what to make of that Steelers Cowboys game. Were they just screwing with the Cowboys? Could they have won at any time and just didn't want to, you know, after a hard nosed game against the Ravens, they kind of wanted to take it easy and win when they could? Or
so I think we just completely underestimate this. I didn't have the balls to pick Dallas 10.5 because I had honestly never heard of your quarterback. I just couldn't do it in our ZFL, our picks league. You think about it. How do you get fired up to play Garrett Gilbert if you're the Steelers? So you're basically just like, hey guys, don't get hurt. It's one of those, right? And you're going 80%. You're not going 100%. So I guess that would be my answer.
All right. Well, now
I think that's why we have these games where the teams like just kind of are on cruise control. And then all of a sudden it's the third quarter and they're down 7.
But they won't look past, even though he's a rookie, he's no Garrett Gilbert. They're not looking past Joe Burrow. So they should show up.
No, because they'll watch the tape and especially the tape from 2 weeks ago. And they'll be like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a good one. You had that watchable? That's a watchable, right?
Oh, that's definitely, that was our fourth watchable.
It's a good one.
Barely watchables. This is in Cleveland, Browns, Texans.
Mm-hmm.
So not sure we're going to have Baker Mayfield for this game. He's on the COVID list, right?
Yeah, he had the decency to do it during his bye week. But I'm not sure. I should
put this in the COVID corner category.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah, how much does Case Keenum going in for Baker, does that make you more likely to bet the Browns? Because for me, it's like...
No, it doesn't. No.
They're kind of the same guy.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're counting on Baker starting. I'll tell you, the odds makers are.
All right. Well, I had Browns 4 thinking that Baker was going to play. Browns by 4 over the Texans.
I said 4.5. It is 2.5.
Oof.
You know, we have a lot of 5-3s against 2-6s where the line isn't even 3 points. It's very weird. I'm sorry. It shouldn't be that way with some of these.
Also weird was the Texans allegedly trying to trade Will Fuller and J.J. Watt, all these dudes. Meanwhile, they don't have their own first-round pick. Like, why not try to win these games and make the playoffs? You have no picks anyway.
Watson said after the game, he said, that would have been a catastrophe if we got rid of Will Fuller. Basically, right. Like, thanking... Meanwhile, they almost blew it, too. They had that Jake Luton, or Lutton, from the Oregon State kid, really came back against them today. And they didn't cover Houston. 27-25, they won.
I was hoping he would win the job over Minshew so we could get the headline Luton free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, damn it.
Thanks.
We got to
talk sitting on that one.
I wanted to talk to the house about your bone broth diet, but whatever, we could save it.
It's only
what the hell's going on? You're 128 and a half pounds and you're on a bone broth diet.
Oh, it's just my wife does this Mondays. She just drinks bone broth and I kind of got sucked into it. And it's kind of delightful.
Yeah. My wife does this thing. She buys these pads and she puts them, you know, you don't have to do everything you do. Your wife does. What's the matter with you?
When you said that, I was like, there's a pad thai? What is that? I haven't heard of that. Pad thai?
God, we got a savior.
Well, you're seeing me soon, so I'll bring you some bone broth. I'll bring some bone broth with me.
I could use it, believe me.
Listen, for the people out there, go read about the bone broth diet.
You do this twice a week?
You do the 5-2 diet where you like fast for 2 days.
I can't do it because I became too spiteful on the 5 days, the days that I could eat anything.
You went nuts.
Oh, it became a catastrophe. But yeah, so that's what it's bone broth for 2 days and then five.
It's basically the 5-2 diet, but on the 2 days you have bone broth.
The fuck is bone broth? What is
it? It's super healthy.
I know, but what is it? It's just
it's bone marrow and they make soup out of it and you drink the bone marrow and you get all the nutrients from it.
You're drinking coffee though around that, right? Or you can't?
You're not supposed to, but I there's no diet that anybody could ever give me where I'm not drinking coffee. I don't care what it is.
Gotcha. All right.
But my wife, you know, she has the Whoop. You have the Whoop?
What's that?
You know, the thing on your wrist that monitors like your activity and your sleep, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
So when she does the bone broth diet, and the next day the Whoop is like really happy with her. Like, you have 96% recovery today. She's like, it's the bone broth. Anyway, two more barely watchables. The Raiders are playing at Denver. Mm-hmm. Denver, your tormentor.
No, I think Denver's Raiders are home, right?
Raiders are home?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I wrote that down wrong. Your tormentor, Denver.
Terrible.
So yeah. I have, you're right. Raiders are home because I guess Raiders by 6, which is too low.
I said 6 also. No, it's too high. It's 4. These lines are all messed up.
Jesus. Okay.
That kid. I mean, he has like 5 or 6 touchdowns in the second half. He doesn't show up, Drew Lock. He has 5 in the last 2 games. He has 5 touchdowns in the second half. He almost did it again to Atlanta. Like, I was joking about it. We joke and we see like a 27-6 score, even though their thing is 27-3. But like, no one's going to come back on them. Those days are over. And I'm like, oh my God, Atlanta has the ball and they're about to tie it. And luckily they held him up.
Maybe he just needs a lot of foreplay, Drew Lock.
Yeah.
That's a weird one because the Raiders are very close to. So if they win this, they're 6-3.
Mm-hmm. They're another one like Carolina, like you said. You don't like them giving 4 points, right? You want them on the road against Cleveland or like they were today against the Chargers.
So they go after Broncos, home Chiefs, at Falcons, at Jets, home Colts, home Chargers, home Dolphins, at Broncos. So they have 2 Broncos games left. So you give them both of those, they're 7-3. Jets, you give them 8-3.
Then get 9.
Yeah, I mean, all they have to do is win 2 more out of all those other ones and they can get to 10-6. I think Vegas is going to be a playoff team. And you know what else? What? They're going to be the Shakey's game. I know the Shakey's game is going to get screwed up because we're going to have 6 playoff games that first weekend. But
yeah.
I think the Vegas Raiders will be involved in the Shakey's game.
Do you want... Well, you have a choice of these two, Chargers or Raiders or Browns as the 7th seed. Raiders, Browns.
Oh, Raiders are better than the Browns.
Well, who do you want to see? So, I mean, there are teams that are better than a lot of the teams we like.
Oh, for Shakeys or
who do I want to see
as a football fan?
Yeah.
I'd rather watch the Raiders. I think the Browns suck.
Yeah.
Next barely watchable is Saints home for the 49ers. and I have no idea who's playing for the 49ers. So let's say Saints by 8.
Well, I mean, wow, you are nudging me by a half a point every time. I said 8.5. I don't know why this should be any lower than that. It's 6.5.
You know why?
Because this was their Super Bowl yesterday.
Kitchen sink for the Niners, right? If they lose this, they're 4-6. They're not making the playoffs because they have a whole bunch of games against.
Right.
They still have, man, they got, they have.
They lose, we can cross them off, I think.
Yeah. At Saints, at Rams, Bills, Washington, at Cowboys, at Cardinals, home Seahawks. That's tough.
Yeah, I don't think they're done. They don't care about making the playoffs as much as they do about us crossing them off. I mean, that's a big factor for these teams. They don't like when we put the nail in the coffin.
I think you're right. I have an announcement for you. My dad admitted to me on Thursday that he's ready for Jimmy G to come home to the New England Patriots next year.
He is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, this is great. He was hurt this year. It wasn't legitimate. It's not like he sucks. He's just been hurt the whole year. They're going to cut him. We're going to bring him home. It's the guy Belichick wanted anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go 12-4 next year. My dad's all in on Jimmy G.
Wow. That would be some story. I wonder. So they have to pick up that salary though. That's the problem.
No, not if the Niners
if they cut him.
Yeah, if they cut him for the cap stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because the cap will go backwards next year because of the revenue. We have three games in the poopfecta.
Mm-hmm.
Lions, Washington, which it's in Detroit. I picked the Lions by 4, and you could tell me this line was anything, and I would believe it. So, because it looks like Kyle Allen's out. It's going to be Alex Smith, and then the Lions stink. So I said Lions by 4, but I don't know what it is.
You were close. I said 5. It's 5.5. Not a great week for Stafford. COVID and then a concussion. Like that's the old 1-2. Maybe he didn't have COVID. He was close to someone who had COVID. He had to pass 5 tests in a row, but he was out of there. And the Vikings beat up on that team.
Yeah, the Vikings. So the Vikings, what were they, 0-3?
They're 2-6 now. Yeah, right? Are they 2-6?
No, they have 3 wins.
Stop it.
They're 3-5, yeah.
3-5, right. That's the Monday game. Okay. Right. And looking, you know, we talked about the best teams in the NFC. They're kind of looking back, like looking the best. Like Dalvin Cook, the running back never gets MVP, but if they storm back to win the division, it's got to be him.
Wilson's, his grip has slipped. Brady's grip has slipped. Rodgers hasn't done much yet.
Mahomes still puts up extraordinary numbers.
I think Kyler Murray's got to be in there now. Mm-hmm. And then Dalvin Cook, if the Vikings somehow went 10-6, he would have to be mentioned as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's in the poopfecta. This one also is Packers-Jags in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
This Packers team, especially this kind of game, they either win 35-3 or it's like 9-6 in the fourth quarter. And you're just like, come on. All right. Can we fast forward to the part where Rodgers does the game winning drive, but it's kind of like nobody really gives a shit. I have Packers by 11.
All right, I beat you here. I said 12.5. It's 13.5.
That's too high.
Coming off a bye, rookie quarterback. It's right.
That's too high. It's not like the Packers have an awesome defense. Do they?
No, not an awesome defense, but they
I don't like high lines like that when the team doesn't have a great defense.
They rested up.
Next poopfecta game. This is the first time we've ever had a poopfecta game with a division lead at stake, but Eagles-Giants. It's in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in New York.
Giants.
Yeah. Or Jersey, yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the Giants, there's some friskiness with the Giants. There's some Joe Judge. These guys are really starting to connect with them stuff.
They play hard for them.
They bench Golden Tate. I didn't hear the full story on that, but apparently there was some attitude stuff.
Yeah, they were good. They were the best team this week. They almost beat the Bucs, which they're probably kicking themselves now. Like, well, how did we not beat the terrible Tampa Bay Buccaneers? But like I said, he was off by a few throws. Otherwise, they should have won that game. And then they beat Washington. Well, they let them back in, but.
Well, I have them as 3-point underdogs against the Eagles.
Shit, I needed to grab that from you when we tied. I had 3 also, and it is 3. It's exactly three.
It's hard to believe that's not a Sunday night or Monday night game.
Well, it was already Thursday night, right? That was the one where Danny Jones, he fell on his face. Yeah.
Just seems like that should be a night game.
Right.
Sunday night, speaking of night games, Ravens at New England. This is one where I know what I think the line should be, but I also think Belichick and everybody get so much respect. Mm-hmm. I have Ravens by three.
No. I had six and it's 6.5.
Oh, there goes the respect idea.
Well, finally, they got a 6-2 versus 2-5 spread, right? I mean, they have to, right?
I think this game's a real problem for the Patriots. There's a certain type of team that they're just not going to be able to succeed against. And we saw it in that Niners game. Mm-hmm. You've seen it in this game. These powerful teams that can run the ball and different people, like they just don't have a front seven. They had multiple guys opt out. They don't have the kind of personnel that can hold this up. This was Buffalo finally realized that last week against them when they started running the ball because they're running it for 5.5 yards a carry.
Yeah,
they don't have linebacker speed for Lamar. That this game's a problem.
Well, that's the thing, right? The Steelers can sucker Lamar into playing stupid, but he normally doesn't. He was 19 for 23 today. He's mistake free when he's up against a defense that suits him well. And I think you're right. I think they fall into a bad trap.
This feels like a tease.
Yeah. By the way, another one to add to your list. I know you have, who do we have for guys who betrayed Boston? You have Brady. You have, who else did well? Why can't I think of this?
I don't know if Brady betrayed Boston, but that's
the ones I'm thinking. Who's
just hurt our feelings.
Yeah. Mookie Betts.
No, Mookie, there's no betrayal with Mookie.
Maybe I'm not saying it, but it's like, oh shit, this is not the Red Boston years. Like Brady, Mookie Betts, what's his name on the Lakers? Real quick, Rondo, Kyle Van Noy. I'm adding him to the list.
Oh, that's good. That's fair. He was a very good Patriot. I liked him. Yeah.
Look at his numbers the last 3 weeks. He's making a difference on that Miami. I meant to bring it up before.
It was the classic signing when somebody overpays for like a Belichick culture guy that usually doesn't work out. And in this case, it seemed like it worked out. Mm-hmm. And it was a very smart signing.
So far, so good. All right, I'm one down and I could tie you here if I win this.
Interesting. Well, we're going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's Bears-Vikings. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to have the Vikings favorite in this game, but I couldn't do it. I did the Bears by 1.5.
All right, we tie. You should have had the Vikings favorite. I had them by 2, and it's 2.5.
Fucking A. I'm such a coward. God, that's nuts. They're favorite in Chicago. What a fucking fall from grace for the Bears.
They're awful. Let's cross them off now. I'd like the 3-5 better than the 5-14. That's nuts.
The Vikings are 3-5. They're favorite on the road on a Monday night game against a team that started out 5-0. Holy
shit. How much
shit.
You got to see of Nick Foles? And there's nowhere to turn either. Oh, that David Montgomery is so bad too. So bad.
Yeah, wasn't he a first round pick?
Was he first or early second? I don't know.
I had him last year in the fantasy league that I'm not in anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was counting on him as like this rookie running back. And every time I watched him, he would run for 2 yards and get tackled.
Right. Yeah, that's it. He has 1 or 2 or 3 yards and never anything more.
And no breakaway speed either.
No.
Wow, Vikings. That's crazy. So they could be 4-5 potentially.
We're going to screw that up though, right? They're baiting us into betting that. I hate that we have to bet that game. He's a third round pick. He was 73 overall.
Montgomery was?
Yeah, okay. Montgomery. Yeah.
That's better. The Patriots have certainly screwed up enough of those.
Feel better, yeah.
All right, it's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side. With the 7-day money-back guarantee at CarMax, you've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. You can leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. It's car buying and car selling the way it should be at CarMax. Check them out today at CarMax.com. Sal, you have the floor.
All right. So I want to watch this Steelers-Cowboys game. And I didn't think it was going to be a big deal because I'm like, the Steelers are just so much better. It'd be nice to cover. By the way, congratulations to the Cowboys covering for the first time in 9 weeks.
Yeah, we forgot to congratulate them. That's big. Good point.
1-8 against the House's team didn't cover. Or maybe they did. I don't know. They didn't cover. Your team didn't cover. They didn't play. Mine did. So I'm going to watch it. And as I told you, my middle child has become a Steelers fan. And it just drives me crazy. And but I don't want to react, because that's what happens in our house. As soon as you react negatively towards something, you get the jabber. You get jabbed even harder because people seize on it. And that's basically the culture that I've created around here. So I don't really react. But now Cowboys are playing the Steelers. And then my oldest son says, hey, Dad, I got back together with my girlfriend and she's coming over to watch the Cowboys Steelers. I'm like, all right. Okay, fine. That's fine. Good for you. Glad you guys got back. And he's like, oh, by the way, she's a Steelers fan. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, Archie.
So you couldn't wait till Monday to get back together? Really? You got to get it? Okay. All right. They're back together. And I'm like, all right, so she's kind of quiet. It's okay. They'll go in another room and that'll be fine. And I'll watch in my office here. And he answers the door. And she's wearing a number 19 Juju Smith-Schuster jersey. And she's like, are you ready for this? And I'm like, oh, no. No. What the hell? But then again, I'm like, all right, I don't really care. It's fine because we're going to lose the game anyway. Archie's watching his girl for another room. My son's in the room. My middle kid's watching with me. And he's very vocal every play. And so is she in the other room. Like, my son is like, if they get a 3-yard run and there's a holding call on the Steelers, he'll be like, no, no, no. I'm like, all right, I'm not dealing with this this early in the first quarter. And plus I'm seeing the uniform matchups and I'm getting nostalgic. I'm like, I'm gonna win this game. And like you said, Garrett Gilbert, our State Farm surprise athlete of the week, he's playing well. I was like, damn it, we can win. I'm like, Jack, get the hell out of here. You watch in another room and they're watching another room and I'm watching. And they're like screaming the whole time. Like, I got to go like on the treadmill. Like, God forbid, I don't want to. The last thing I want to do on a Sunday is exercise, but I got to get away from these people. So I did. And I come back and it comes down to the end. And of course, they blow it. And the bad thing about them blowing it is I'm seeing it first. The last play, the throw to the end zone that's incomplete. There, one of them's on a 2-second delay and one of them's on a 4-second delay. So I lost three times because I was like, fuck. Oh, God. And then I hear, yeah. And then 3 seconds later, woo! And I'm like, everybody out of this house, get out. So I don't know what happened. I'm nearing 50 years old, but I can't even watch my team in peace. And that was my Cowboys Steelers viewing experience.
So she showed up with a Juju jersey.
Yeah.
You answered the door and she said, are you ready for this?
She said it to Archie, but she knows I'm the fan and I'm looking over his shoulder. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for this. No one's ready for this.
Oh, my God.
That's that.
Come on, Archie.
I know. I'm embarrassed.
I drove to Arizona this weekend because my daughter had soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about these trips in the past. Haven't had one of these trips for, I don't know, since March. We're going to driving somewhere. This one was really something because it was, I don't know, it's like 400 miles from here. So obviously I had to try to get there as fast as possible.
Oh, no.
So stayed in a hotel, stayed at an Embassy Suites, watched movies, got food. Saturday, we went to Bianco's restaurant,
awesome.
Just hung out, just some great dad-daughter time. She played today, drove back after Jimmy John's, stopped on the way there because she wanted the turkey sub, the number or the Italian sub, like the number 7, whatever, with the chips. Go fly all the way through. Normally in the parent corners, we complain about their kids. I gotta say, it was great to spend the 2 days. I really missed it.
That's it.
I don't even have a story. It was more
No. She was texting while you were talking to her.
No,
she
it was wasn't like that. It was like a really good hang.
Really?
Our kids. Well, you must see this with Archie too. Like, our kids are like kind of adults now.
Yeah.
So
I know.
when you go away for the weekend, it's not as much of a parent thing. It's more of a hang.
Well, I know, but I hate adults too. So that's this is not how this works. You got to figure something bad out.
Well, everybody was like, why isn't your daughter ever on this? I don't know. I just, it got me thinking about the whole COVID thing. Cause we're in Arizona.
Yeah.
Where you only partially know that COVID's happening, right? You go into certain restaurants, like nobody has masks on. In the hotel, just somebody waiting to check in, they have no mask on. And you're kind of like, wait a second.
Throws you off.
Going from California to there where you know, or at Starbucks, somebody just walks in, no mask, mm-hmm. getting coffee. They're 2 feet away. You got to move. It's the election made a lot more sense after the weekend, but now is, you know, I don't think she'd had a soccer game that I'd been to since the beginning of March, right before it was the Sunday before mm-hmm. the pandemic. So it was like almost 8 months. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know. I've been watching her play soccer since she was four. And then we used to have these trips and then they're just like gone.
Right.
So now we were making COVID jokes the whole time. Obviously not a joke in matter since 250,000 right. people have died. But at the same time, we stop on the way there. We stop at a Subway in, you know, God knows where, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And same thing, two people walk in without masks and we're like, wow, we might get COVID before we even get to Phoenix. And
right.
It's just kind of the lingering subplot and you're in elevators in a hotel with face masks on and, you know.
Yeah, you're the weird one if we're having a mask on.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Well, let me just tell you, you don't have to drive 600 miles to do that. You could drive 6 miles to Orange County and you'll see the same kind of thing. I mean, it's very strange where it divides.
But. Well, and then on the sidelines for the soccer game, like most people didn't have masks on
mm-hmm.
or they had them like kind of pulled down so they could yell or whatever. And there were all these things about, hey, please respect whatever. And people are just going to do whatever the fuck they yeah. want. I don't know how many people have to get it each day before the mask things becomes more important, but apparently we're just going to go for 500,000 in that's a day, it. I guess is where we're heading.
We're just going to break records. Well, so that's yeah. it, huh? All right, CarMax.
No.
I love my kid. Sal, I like my kid. All right.
No, I had an CarMax. Ending to this. It's a nostalgic parent right. corner.
Okay.
I started doing the math on the way home because she's 15 and a half, right? She's in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years from now, her and Archie are going to be in college.
No, come on.
And then it was like when you were saying, I remember you said this when we moved to LA and we were working for a Kimmel show. And I remember like my parents are coming out and you said to me, this is the kind of shit you would say. Like, see, this is why I never got work done in the office. You'd be like, hey, Simmons, did you ever think about how many more trips your parents would make here before they die and you'll never see them again? I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, how many? Like 30? What do you think? Like 33 more trips for your dad? I'm like, what? My dad's 60. What do you mean? My dad's going to die? And you're like, I did the math. I think my dad's going to make 28 more trips. You didn't realize he was going to move out here.
I know. That's the thing. As soon as you say it, they move towards you. Yeah.
Right.
And that's that. Yeah.
So anyway, I was thinking in the car, I was like, I probably have like 32 more trips left with my daughter, like soccer weekend trips, or like 34.
And then you die?
And I just got, no, and then she goes to college. And
oh,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
What if she goes to college in like the East Coast or something?
Right. That's true. 32 is a lot. Think about all that driving. That's a lot. That is sad, though. I got to think about it. I don't know.
Did well with that one. Not sure about Ben, but I, at least with Zoe, Zoe was a home run. Ben will see.
At least Ben's girlfriend isn't rooting for the Lakers and watching it right in front of you.
Ben was with his grandparents today, and my wife's mother said to him, you know, Alex Trebek died, and Ben goes, yeah, no shit, grandma. Like he already seen it, I think. And then Carrie got mad and he went to his room and it's like, so yeah, so I had that going too.
He didn't really even say what is no shit. Oh man.
Anyway. All right. That was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be. Check them out today at CarMax.com.
Hey, my birdie buddies, Joe House here. The BS podcast is brought to you by FanDuel. We have made it, my par-saving pals, to the final leg of the Fairway Rolando Leaderboard Invitational. All major season long, FanDuel has been tallying up your golf DFS scores and putting you on the series leaderboard. This week, be sure to enter the Fairway Rolando Leaderboard Series at FanDuel.com/FairwayRoland. If you finish at the top of the leaderboard, you are going to win the beautiful, one-of-a-kind inaugural Fairway Rolando Championship jacket, not to mention a lifetime of bragging rights. With this week's daily fantasy contest, of course, you're going to have a chance to win thousands of dollars in cash prizes, even if you're not in position to win the leaderboard series. It is Masters Week, and the jacket we have lined up for you is absolutely Masters worthy. It is a beautiful dinner jacket bearing exactly what you would expect in terms of the Ringer logo and all the accoutrement, and it will be tailored to fit your perfect frame, a perfect fit. Go to FanDuel.com/fairwayrolling to enter the Masters contest before it locks Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. That's FanDuel.com/fairwayrolling. For age and location restrictions apply.
All right, before we go, House is back. I want to talk about the election really quick. House is in D.C. when it was revealed yesterday that our next president would be Joseph Biden. What was D.C. like?
So D.C. is an extremely left-leaning city by identity, and it's been that way since its inception. And there was a palpable buzz in the city, accompanied by all the major thoroughfares, cars driving up and down, honking, young people hanging out of the cars, waving banners, a great convening down at the Black Lives Matter Plaza. Washington, D.C. is ready for the Trump family to relocate.
Sal, same scene in Manhattan Beach or no?
It was a little mix, in Manhattan Beach, I'm going to say. I will say you and I, though, actually all of us, we were sending the odds. We were a slave to the betting market when it came to this. And so going into the week, what was Biden, like 220, 190? What was going into the week?
He settled at about in the 175, right, exactly. Minus 175, yeah. Minus 180, right, range. And Trump was plus 160, then he was plus 150. And I started sending it to you guys because I was always of the opinion that I didn't trust the polls. I think people lie on the polls. I just don't trust them anymore. And I just thought it was going to be a toss up. And Trump started dropping.
Yeah.
And remember when he got to plus 140, I'm like, oh my God, should we try to buy the win to save the country and just bet on Trump, put our stink on him? And that night, and we were texting back and forth all of a sudden Trump was favored.
It was about the same time as when Hillary took a dump, right? It was about 7 o'clock our time, probably 10 o'clock your time, House. And that line went to minus 600 for Trump. Now the polls were all wrong. They were almost all wrong for the states and for the margin, say 8 to 10%. It was never going to be that. It's not going to be that. But the one thing we did know is, come Tuesday night, it was going to appear as if Donald Trump was going to win. He was going to have more votes. He was going to have the Electoral College, you know, he was going to be winning Pennsylvania and all these big states. So he should have been like minus 200 around there. Everyone panicked and bet it up to minus 600. And by the way, they should have a gambling correspondent on hand. There was like over $550 million bet on this. Like, I know a lot of it was overseas, but between the trade markets and just like illegal gambling, there was a ton bet on this election.
You know, the move was that should have been ESPN's counter programming.
Yes.
Because right. I don't even know what they had. They were showing like figure skating or something. I was so fascinated by the betting markets, which is hilarious and speaks to what degenerates the three of us are. That basically the country, like, God only knows what would have happened if the election had gone differently. But the betting markets, I was saying, House and I were talking before I was driving back. I felt like I understood most of this stuff. I don't think they did a good job of explaining that some states counted the mail-in ballots right away and then other ones waited till after.
Right.
And it's like CNN, they're on fucking 24 hours a day and they never really fully explained that to us. And even when Trump started to pull away in some of these states, and I had 45 minutes where I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster.
Seemed like a crucial moment. Like,
well, as you know, yeah, Pennsylvania counts it after. I'm like, no, I didn't know that. You could have fucking told me before, you know, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. House, you had the same thing, right? You didn't understand this.
I was really upset by the way that the information was delivered and the lack of context, right? This is the most unique year in the history of the Republic in terms of counting votes and the circumstances under which votes were cast. And every state has its own unique approach to it. And the state's legislatures had to enact laws in the last year to create a mechanism to try and count votes in a fair way. And Tuesday night was not the night to be revealing results of really anything other than the states that were locks, like California and New York. Those are going to be blue. Idaho is going to be red. Alabama is going to be red. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and color all those in.
Yeah, there were eight states that mattered. They're right. Pretending that that Biden had a chance in Texas and Florida. I'm
ridiculous.
Like, what's going on here? It's like, then we eventually find out, oh, we actually know what's going on here.
Yeah.
That this was counted the way it was. Like, he never had a chance in either of those.
I think the important thing to take from this, and we'll forget about it next election, is that everybody is full of shit. Everybody, honestly. And, you know, George Stephanopoulos was on my cousin on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And he's like, yeah, I was getting texts from experts, people I trusted. And there was a lot of it was all wrong. It was all bad information and bad predictive stuff. And I'm just as much to blame when it comes to sports gambling. If you listen to this podcast for years or you watch me on Fox Bet Live, like I could be wrong and lose money 5 weeks in a row. And I'm screaming about how Kyler Murray is bad and some idiot's going to believe me. But so I think the loudest person wins. Take it all with a grain of salt. I mean, I went to bed like at 2:30. Biden was, Trump was minus 250. I woke up at 4:30. I sent you guys a text. Biden was minus 250. I was like, what the hell is going on? How does that flip? Wisconsin's won. Michigan's won. It's just amazing how it all was so close. So damn close.
So there's a 45-minute stretch on Tuesday when all of a sudden it dropped to Trump even. And then it jumped to Trump minus 150. And then all of a sudden it was like Trump minus 240. And we're all texting each other and we're like, oh my God, what's happening? As it turns out, it's just they're moving the lines because people are just betting Trump. They don't know any better. They're just watching CNN like we are. It gets all the way to minus 700 on some sites, but the most normal ones had it at minus 600 for a little bit, settled at minus 400. My friend Haral Bob, who tweeted about how he was taking advantage of the disparity, I think it was plus 290. It stayed for a while and a lot of smart people jumped in. And I don't even know how you bet like major money on whatever sites.
It's international. You can't bet it domestically.
Yeah, right. It's more trading. Exactly. Shit. Yeah.
It's like Betfair.
So Biden was he was like plus 290 for, I don't know, 45 minutes. And in that 45 minutes, people made a killing. And it's going down as one of the most memorable gambling nights, I think, ever. On top of all the other stuff that happened, where these wild swings that are based on nothing. Mm-hmm. Just people going, oh, it seems like Trump's going to win. I better get in on this. Unbelievable.
That's the thing. It's all emotional betting, right? And even up to the election, it's emotional betting because all we have is access to poll numbers, which we now know and even knew 4 years ago were fraudulent. So it's all emotional betting until it settles in. And then you're like, even then we're like, oh, I don't even know if he's going to win Pennsylvania. And then you see Biden's minus 1,200 to win Pennsylvania, but he's down 40,000 votes. Like, how is this? And then you kind of have to trust it when it settles. You just have to figure out when it actually settled, right?
I'm now retroactively furious at CNN because they knew the whole time and they were like, we're all like crack addicts and they're just doling out little crack cubes to us to be like, coming up, we'll get some more votes from Georgia right after this. And then 3 days later, you learn like, oh yeah, they're counting all these votes by hand. Every 3 hours, it's like, hey, we have another 2,000 votes. We're not going to learn anything about Georgia. Right, you know, in some of these states and CNN, their whole goal was just to, they just had John King up there just pointing at counties. I mean, he's great at his job, but I do feel like I felt a little used and abused.
Well, he and Steve Kornacki, is that the guy's name over on MS? Yeah. Those two guys standing at the board. But your point is the right one. They definitely took advantage. You can't treat it in this horse race manner. And I hope that is a takeaway 4 years from now. I mean, I understand that those are television networks in the business of making money by having commercials and having eyes on them. So they string it out as long as they can. But the point we're making here is that if you had dedicated the time and energy to understand the count, the timing of the count, and you know where population centers are blue and where they're red in the individual states that made a difference, you could have had an opinion to make a bet. And the betting markets had that opinion. The probabilities, this is why H-Bob killed it. The probabilities market had Biden at 70% when he was, on Tuesday night, the way the news read, he was down in, you know, 40 states or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it all
so you guys are saying they shouldn't have counted the votes.
by Thursday night, we knew where it was going, and then it took until Friday and then Saturday morning. And it's just nice to think of at least a couple years where we don't have to deal with somebody who and I don't even care about the Republican Democrat thing. Just the effect that he had on everybody's psyche, I don't think we'll ever see anything like that in our lifetime, where it's like this same sensation of we all have a relative, it might even be one of our fathers,
mm-hmm.
at Thanksgiving after a couple drinks, and you're just like, oh God, please don't say it. Mm-hmm. Oh no. Oh, I see that look in your eye. This is, oh no, somebody's feelings are about to get hurt. And this is what our country was like for 4 years with this lunatic.
Well, why don't we just buy everybody a Four Seasons Landscaping Company sweatshirt and we'll all be fine.
That is the best.
I don't get that. What is a Four Seasons Landscaping?
You didn't see that?
No.
His last press conference, Trump was supposed to have a press conference at 8:30 a.m. West Coast time.
On Saturday?
On Saturday. CNN, MSNBC call the election at 8:15. I think they wanted to scoop him. He ends up not showing up at the press conference. It was at the Four Seasons Landscaping Company, right? They meant to book it. The story is that they meant to book it at this Four Seasons, the real Four Seasons
in
hotel,
Philadelphia.
But they have it at this in Philadelphia, but it's at this landscaping company by a freaking garden hose, and there's a pawn shop next to it, and Rudy Giuliani took it instead of Trump because he's like, screw this at this point. I'm not speaking. And it was just you gotta look it up.
That's an all time talk about it. Once he was declared winner, I was out. I wasn't watching anything after that. I didn't see his speech last night. I mean, the irony is the Republicans are, you know, probably gonna win these runoffs.
Yeah.
And
yeah, nothing
good. Kind of Biden's first 2 years, he won't be able to do that much anyway, but it's not gonna matter because all he has to do is what he did in that speech. Just talk about, hey, I'm here to be the president for everybody. I don't want us to be divided anymore. Right. Can we go back to being good people again? Hey, like all he has to do is just do that and stay on that message. And
good.
I don't know. That sounds awesome.
Yep. Anyway, just cut the noise out, please, for a little bit.
all right, House. Thanks for
joining
fellas.
Us. Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
All right, Sal, what do you got to plug?
The Extra Points Podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday on the Extra Points Podcast Network. We got Against All Odds Tuesday night, Fox Bet Live, 5 p.m. Eastern on FS1. I will be on that, and I'll do the Thursday night pregame show on Fox. A lot of Fox stuff going on.
Fox stuff. Yeah. You're stepping it up with those Thursday bits.
I know. Thank you.
The pandemic really, you know, you really had to...
Well, I got to say, you get some celebrities in there who might normally say no to you, and you're like, hey, just give me 10 seconds on Zoom. I just need a sound bite. And they're like, yeah, all right, I could do that. So I got Joel McHale's with me in a couple weeks and got something good this week, too.
So, as always, good job by you.
Good job by you.
That's it for the BS Pod. I am not on the rewatchables this week, but it's a great movie, a classic. I handed it off. Get ready for that, and then I'll be back on this podcast on Tuesday. And by the way, Book of Basketball coming back on Wednesday night. A whole new season. Very excited about it, so stay tuned for that. See you on this feed on Tuesday.